Maybe your pastor used the verse that I'm going to use tonight in the Word of God for our message this evening. And so I want you to locate, if you would please, probably the most famous verse in the Bible that's ever been used for a time like this, and it's in 2 Chronicles. And I believe you could probably find it at 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number, what do you think? 14 is correct, is exactly correct. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I was thinking ahead for tomorrow night. I find out that we have a responsibility as children of God. The Bible says, ye shall be my witnesses. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, follow me and I'll make you to be fishers of men. When you're saved, you automatically become a follower. You automatically become a disciple. And disciples are to do what their leader tells them to do. And they're to be obedient in love. And I'll be speaking on that one night. But I want you to think about, we are his disciples. We had a family in our church, beautiful people. They came to us there about 3 or 4 years. And all of a sudden, they got caught up in something that said that the Great Commission, I do not call it a commission, I call it a command. And it is a command. I believe a command is more strict to followers to go by those guidelines than a commission. A person can be commissioned to do something and not follow through with it. But if you're commanded to do something, you're disobeying if you do not follow that command. Now, that's my personal opinion, but I think I'm right. I've never heard anybody say that before, but I'm sure somebody has. I just heard him say it just a second ago. A command. And so the Bible teaches to the disciples to go into all the world. And these people said that commission, they called it, is for those 12 disciples only. I don't believe that. I believe that's for me. I believe that's for you. I believe that's for every believer in the world. Now, the Bible teaches us, as children of God, we are to be witnesses, and in order to be a witness, we have to follow the commands of the Bible. And here in verse number 14, we have a command. We'll start with verse 12, and that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place for myself for an house of sacrifice, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. If, now that's a big if, my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now I want you to notice that if, that's a big if. In order to have our sins forgiven, in order for our land to be healed, we have to follow God's word. And every Christian is responsible for following God's word. And we are to humble ourselves, number one. We're to pray. We're to seek his face and turn from our wicked ways. Now, if we follow his instructions and his requirements, then he will hear from heaven and he'll forgive us of our sins and will heal our land. And our land needs healed today. Anybody can look out, even the non-Christians are saying, what in the world is going on in the United States of America? I think most of us know the name of Judge Roy Moore. Do you know that name? He was the chief court justice in Alabama. He put the Ten Commandments out in front of the Capitol building, and they didn't like it. They took it out and kicked him out, but he's back. Did you know he's been restored? Yeah. He's back in his seat again. He wrote this. America the Beautiful are so it used to be, land of the pilgrim pride, I'm glad they will never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand, oh sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from teaching of God's love and need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown. When earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry, that our land's a moral slum. How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face, and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But, America the Beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. I think that's putting it very well as the condition of our country today. But sad to say, many so-called Christians are following in a way that's contrary to God's word. And there's one thing, it's not going to be politics. There's only one thing can change what's happening today. And that's for God's people will follow this verse in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God places the responsibility for revival squarely upon our shoulders. He gives us the requirement. He lays down the rules. He gives us the outline. He teaches us how to have our land healed. It's up to the children of God to bring this country of ours back to where it needs to be. There's a movement to take God out of the pledge. I was listening years and years and years ago, Red Skelton, native of Indiana, by the way. He talks about Mr. Lasley, his teacher, and he said, wouldn't it be sad to hear that we take God out of our pledge, and in God we trust off of our money? Wouldn't that be sad? Well, back in those days, we could say, who's this guy? That'll never happen. It's already happened. It's happening now. And if there's going to be any hope for America, it's going to be people just like this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. That's what it takes. God places the responsibility squarely upon our shoulders. Revivals do not accidentally happen. They happen on purpose. If we have any major revival in our land, it'll be because of work, prayer, and sacrifice. The Bible is teaching us how to have a revival. And you can't push a button and have a revival meeting. There's no way you can feed it into a computer and get a readout on it. There's only one way revival will come. That's through the people of God, the people who are born again, really saved, and do their best to live by the Bible and get on their knees before God if they're humanly, physically able to, and pray that we will see revival in America once again. And it seems like we've almost given up. You cannot push a button and have a revival meeting. We need an awakening. Conversion of sinners will follow. And the Bible is teaching us we cannot have a revival unless the Christians first have life. Real life in Christ. Abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christians need to have revival. The lost saved need to be resurrected. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. So if there's any revival in this country, it's going to be from people just like those who are gathered here tonight in this building. That's the only way we can have revival in our own hearts, personally. And so I want you to notice in our text the person of revival. If my, who is the my? It's Lord God Almighty. The people that know God, that have been introduced to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And those are the people of God, the people of Jehovah, the Creator, the one who answered by fire, the one who led Moses, the one who rained down brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, the God of all creation, the one that pushed the walls of Jericho down, and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob. And it cannot be shunned. The only way it can come is to be sent. And in order for God to send it, it has to be asked for. And the only way that can be asked for are people just like we are gathered here in this meeting tonight. Revival. In the past, great revivals have taken place. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. We are His purchased possession. We've been bought by the blood. We are not our own. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Very few Christians have done that. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody in this building that is born again is a person who can ask for, experience, and pray for revival, and we need more. We need more. It takes more than a handful. It's all the people of the Lord around the world. It's not the religious people. It's the redeemed. God help us to realize that we're very special in the sight of God. He has requirements for us. And we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I want us to look at not only the people of revival, but I want us to know the passion of revival. It takes humility. That's our position. That's our place. We're to put off the old man, and we're to be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, and He giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may bring you and cause you to be exalted. That's what the Bible says in the book of Psalms. And God's responsibility is to see that we humble ourselves, and if we don't humble ourselves, He will. He has some ways of doing that. And every time we come into a situation, we ought to say, now, what's the purpose for this crisis I'm going through? Why am I experiencing something here that's uncomfortable? Why am I receiving this great blessing? And the Lord has a reason for everything we do. And He has a reason for blessing us or making His own decision not to shower out His blessings upon us. So revival is our responsibility. And so we see then also the passion for revival. Jesus humbled Himself, put off the old man, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. And God's responsibility is to see that we do it. If you don't believe God could do it, just have a look at Jonah. Jonah disobeyed God, and you know the rest of the story. When people disobey God, they are disobeying the ruler of the universe. They're disobeying the ultimate power. You know, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And sometimes He has to get a hold of us and get our attention. He's looking for us to be used in a magnificent and marvelous way. So the Bible is teaching us that we are the people of revival, and there is a passion for revival. And the Bible teaches us that He can bring us to ourself. All you have to do is look at the prodigal son. Look at David. When David sinned before God. And then David had to go through the corrections of the Lord. And we have to also. We have to look at ourselves and say, what does God see? When He looks at me, am I capable, through my prayer, to get God's attention to experience revival in my time? We've had some great revival. When the people of God would assemble together and pray and call upon His name. And then I want you to notice the prayer for revival. There's two prayers for revival. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name and those who are saved shall humble themselves, and these are the people of revival, humble themselves and pray. So the Bible teaches us that we need to pray for revival. There's two prayers, the prayer of desire and the prayer of confession. In order to get our desires, we must confess. And there's no way we're going to get by with unconfessed sin. God knows what we think. He knows the very thoughts. Jesus knew their thoughts. And the Lord knows our thoughts. And we can talk with the outward, but if the inward is not balanced with our outward, then our thoughts are not His thoughts. Neither are His thoughts our thoughts. So the Bible is teaching us the prayer for revival. And when we pray, He will forgive all sins. Now there's two prayers, desire and confession. I had a story years ago about these men that were hunters, and they went out and they loved to hunt, and they're hunting with their dogs, and it was hot. Down in Alabama, I used to hunt, and boy, it'd be hot down there, even in January sometime, February, when season would be in, and we'd hunt, and boy, we'd perspire, and we'd get alongside of maybe a little stream that was coming down out of a hill or out of some of the areas there, and we'd just stoop down, take a drink, and so these hunters were tired and hot, and they put their gun up beside the tree, and the dogs were lapping up out of the stream. They started to get a drink, and when they started to dip out of the water, well, the water came down and was real muddy. And they just stopped and visited a little while, and the water cleared up. And so they're ready to get them a drink. I've done this many times, drink out of a stream when I'm out hunting and in the woods. And they stooped down and started to dip again, and here came the mud. And they were curious, you know, being hunters and men outdoors. And so they thought, well, what's causing this? I mean, that's unusual. So they started walking up the little stream, and they got up, oh, several yards above where they were trying to get their drink. And there was an old sow. And this old sow was right in the middle, in the hot summertime, right in the middle of that cool stream. And every once in a while, in order to obtain a more comfortable position, she had grunt a time or two. If you don't know what a sow is, that's a mama hog. And she had grunt a time or two, and she had kind of readjust herself. And every time she had readjust herself, she'd stir up the mud. And the mud had come down through there, and those hunters said, well, we can't get a drink of this muddy water. So they went up above the problem, and they sipped the water, cool, clear water out of the stream. And do you know, we can't get God's attention if we're not right with Him, and if we got things clouding up our mind, if we're participating in things that God's displeased with. I know a mother and a daddy of a preacher boy. I've been with him many times up in New York. He's with his mother down in Pensacola, Florida now. And his daddy was a Christian. And his daddy bought a lottery ticket every week. That was just a habit he had. And in honor of her husband, the preacher's mother stills buy a lottery ticket every week. Now, I don't think anybody that does things like that can get God's attention. I just don't believe that. We're living in a day where we're accepting things and doing things that the average Christian of 50, 60, 70 years ago would not even think of doing. They went to revival meetings, and they'd have to start at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Have to wash all of them washed in one tub. You better hope if it's a big family you got in first, because by the time the last one got in there, why, it'd be pretty cloudy stuff. They'd hitch up the wagon, saddle up the horses. They'd ride in the buggies for 30 minutes, an hour before they got to the meeting. No wonder they stayed there 2 or 3, 4 hours. These are our ancestors. This is what our country was founded upon. And now, you have prayer meeting, and maybe you'll get a handful of people. We're living in a day where the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God is taking second place in the life of an average Christian, or maybe I should say an average church member. And so the Bible is teaching us, if we're going to have revival, we have to have a desire, we have to confession, and we have to get up above the filthiness of this world A story is told about a boy that grew up with his aunt and uncle out on a farm, and he always loved to go out and spend the night with them. And I can only think of my aunt and uncle Ira and Uncle Martin when I think of this story. And so the boy now had grown up, he's a man, and the farm had been sold, and it's where he was born, and he got in the area, and he went out and knocked on the door, told the people who he was. No, they knew the name, because that's where they got the farm, through that name. And he said, I lived here, I was born here, I just wanted to walk around and look around a little bit. Oh, help yourself. And so he went out, climbed over some fences, and the fences seemed a lot closer and a lot lower now than they did when he was a little boy. And as he was wandering around through the woods and so forth, he remembered, oh man, there was a spring here somewhere. And I remember how I used to love to go to that spring because the water was so clear and so cool. And I thought that's the best water ever put in my mouth. And so he looked around. And finally he came to a place where there's some moisture. And he got a stick, and just the leaves there had covered, pretty heavy cover of leaves, and he got a stick and sort of scraped them away, and it was moist, and the ground was sort of sandy and soft, and so he got in and got to digging pretty good, and the water began to flow a little bit. It began to bubble up, and he kind of made a little basin there in the sandy soil, and he just stood back there and watched it, and it cleared up. And he reached down and put his hand in there, and oh, it was cool. And he reminisced, and he thought, boy, this is the sweetest water I ever put in my lips when I was a kid. And it reminded him of those days. Now, before he could have that experience, he had to clear away the debris. He had to get rid of the stuff that had built up over the years, and all the leaves that had stacked up on that once beautiful area where he could get a drink every day. And in order for us to get thoroughly right with God, there's a lot of things that have to be gotten rid of. There's a lot of cultivation that has to be done in our hearts, in our soul. And when we can get those things out and forgiven and cleared away, then we can know the refreshing joy of revival. But it won't come until. Now, judgment will come sometimes to bring us to our knees. We don't want that to happen. But God is a just God. He's done it before in the past. Only 8 were saved from the flood because of sin. He's done it in the past. Are we racing toward the judgment? Are we racing toward the rapture? From all indications, everything is set in order right now. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it could take place. I'm talking to you about revival. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Bible teaches us very clearly that we need revival. The formula for revival is in God's holy word. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Our sin will be forgiven. Our land will be refreshed. So we need revival. We need revival. But it only comes one way. And there's only one person that can send it, but there are many people that meet the requirements to experience it. And they're, in comparison to this world, not very many that are deserving of real revival. I want you to turn with me to the 51st Psalm, please. Psalm 51. The 51st Psalm is a psalm that we may refer to it a couple of times during this meeting. This is a psalm of David. After David fell, after David sinned, he began to pray this psalm. You know, we can pray this psalm. You don't have to commit the same sin that David committed to be a backslidden Christian. You don't have to do that. You just get to the place where your business is more important than the Word of God. You get to the place where your business takes you to study on Wednesday nights and on Sunday nights, and then you drift off into other things. And that's the way to really realize the meaning of the 51st Psalm is to pray the 51st Psalm. Once in a while I have to do this. I ought to do it more often. And so I want us to do that tonight. I want us to pray the 51st Psalm. You say, well, how are we going to do that? When I pause, you just pray the next word. But you read along with me in your heart. And then when we come to the next word, as I pause, you say that word and let's make this our prayer tonight. You have your Bibles open to the 51st Psalm. Everyone, please. Have your Bibles open? I don't see everybody with a Bible. Maybe you forgot your Bible. The 51st Psalm. When I pause, we'll pray the next word together, but look at the Scripture and make it your own. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out transgressions, and wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse from sin. For acknowledge transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. And the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure, O unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with the burnt offerings, and the whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Now, if we can put ourselves in the, maybe the sin that David committed is not a sin that anybody in this building has committed with your body. You may have done it with your eyes, but we're just as guilty as David was in our ways. And if we're going to see things happen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now that's positive. That's a promise. You can put it in the book. God said it. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to practice it? Are we going to continue on in our way? And if we want revival, and if we ever see revival, this is what is going to have to take place. This is God's promise of revival. This is the order of prayer. Psalm 138, verse 7, wilt thou revive me? Psalm 85, verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? If we're not revived, there's no rejoicing. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 2, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Sin revival. Sin revival. I heard Hyman Appleman preach, great Jewish preacher when I was a kid. Heard him preach many, many times. Had the joy of being in the same home and eating with him where he stayed. And he could preach like between Billy Sunday and Billy Graham, Hyman Appleman and Mordecai Ham were the two nationally recognized evangelists at that time. And so Hyman Appleman was used of God, and he and Homer Britton were in Australia for 6 months and recorded 9,600 decisions. Her daddy had a voice of 1,000 people in his choir. And they saw revival. Oh, that we could see revival today. And the only way we're going to see revival is by following God's word to the T. And it's going to have to be started some way, somehow, by the people of God. We're living in a day where there's religion on every hand. We're living in a day where people are taking advantage of their life. They're taking advantage of God's blessings upon us. They're taking advantage of the United States of America. And we're living in a day where the laws have been changed almost to protect the guilty. And so we need to live in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 14. If we are the people of God, we may not have a worldwide revival, but you can have a revival right here in this place. It has to start somewhere. Why not start here at Open Door Baptist Church? You talking about coming to Sunday school, you wouldn't get up and say, oh, we better hurry up. We're going to be late. We're going to have to get there this morning. You know how it is. We got to get there. No, you won't be doing that. You won't have to be talking about that. You just get up with joy. We're going to church. Can't wait to see what God's going to do today. Man, the crowd's growing. People are coming. Honey, you and I have got to go visit that family now. The Lord's put them on my heart. We've got to go over and visit them. And we've got to invite them to church. And we got to talk to them about the Lord. They need to be saved. You know what that is? That's biblical thinking. That's biblical living. And some people have not even let their next door neighbor know that they're Christians and have not even witnessed to their next door neighbor. God help us in this day. We are so sophisticated. We need to be biblical in our approach. We need to trust God's power, and we need to look to Him who makes no mistakes. We need to be what God wants us to be. Let's pray. Our Father, thank Thee for loving us, and we pray that this week will be a blessed week. We pray that this will be a refreshing week. We pray that it will be a week that will be used of God to speak to all of our hearts, that we may be more than we are now for the glory of God. Help us to leave off those unnecessary things. And Lord, we pray that we will all have a theme song that goes something like this. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, and love that soul through me, and may I humbly do my part to win that soul for Thee. Let's all stand for prayer, shall we? I want everybody to think of one person. One person, one name, one person you know that you would like to see in this building this week. Think of a name right now. Some of you got several names. Just think of one, just one. Now pray that the Lord will prepare that heart for you to call on the phone or to go by, make a contact some way to invite that person. Everybody here got saved through someone else that showed an interest in you somehow, some way. And if others are going to be saved, they'll get saved the same way you did, by someone talking to you about Jesus or inviting you to church. And everybody here can give a testimony as to how you got saved. If you're saved, you can do that. And somebody, usually somebody else, is involved in your conversion. So, during these days of opportunity, let's just trust the Lord. Let's start praying for that individual by name. Let's start praying as husband and wife together for that individual by name. And then make contact and say, I'll be glad to pick you up. Like for you to come by my house. We'll have a piece of pie and ice cream after the service is over. Or whatever method you would like to do to fellowship with them. They need to be under the sound of the gospel, because those very people are going to spend eternity in one of two places. Don't you think the Lord would be pleased with you to endeavor to make a difference in where they go when they die? Don't you think that would be biblical and scriptural? Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will take complete control of these days. Bless in the preaching of the Word. Help our hearts to be in tune with Thee. We pray that this will be the best week of our lives. We pray for those folks that are members or not here tonight. We pray that everyone here will call their friends and say, we are having a meeting, missed you, hope you'll come. But we pray for that one person that we pray everybody will have upon their heart. That they'll pray and visit and talk on the phone to get that individual here and trust God that he'll move upon that person in such a way that he will come. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. Amen.